is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
AM, and my name is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today. And yesterday, we celebrate Family and International Day of Happiness. And in order to celebrate that, we have the chairman, the chairlady, the president, or Miss Cheryl Walking, who is the chairman or president?
Founder
and chairman and president of the Marriage Children Family Alliance Movement, right? And I want you to tell me more about that, and then we'll move into Happy International Day and what has been done and what we're promoting and everything like that, because we are happy.
We are happy, and we say that if we're happy and we know it, show it.
There you go.
And we are promoting showing, you know, the happiness that we have within us and that we're capable of having. And so I'm happy to be in here. And I'm happy for the song that came on, Happy by Pharrell, I think, Williams, because that he actually wrote that song to commemorate the start of International Family Day.
So it's a real day.
It's a real day that has been designated by the United Nations as a day to promote happiness as a human right and goal and aspiration of human beings throughout the world. In fact, it is seen as equally as important as the economic mm-hmm. index of a nation. And so most nations, a lot of nations look at the economics, the bottom line, economic growth. But equally as important is looking at the happiness and the well-being of a nation's people. And so that's what we are bringing awareness to. This year was the 10th anniversary of that day. It was first celebrated in 2013. And so we're using this week to bring awareness to it. And hopefully in the coming years, we will continue to promote that. Our organization, Marriage, Children, Family Alliance Movement's mission mm-hmm. is actually cultivating strong, healthy, happy families. Mm-hmm. And so it aligns with, you know, what we know, again, should be a universal goal and right of all human beings. So we will be having activities and events that help persons to become happier people. An acronym that we have coined is HAPPY, mm-hmm. and I will share with you what that acronym means. And the H is for harmonious. And, of course, in order to be happy, we need to be able to get along with ourselves, get along with others, and, to, of course, chiefly to be able to get along with our God, mm-hmm. our Creator. And so we're promoting that, and in terms of having peace within societies. And we learn most of that, learning how to be harmonious within our family. If you come from a family that is dysfunctional, is, you know, chaotic, you're going to take that out into the society. And so we are hoping to be able to build the capacities of families so that they will be able to deal with stress and to be able to be more emotionally intelligent. Me and Mr. Farmer here were just talking briefly, and he was sharing with me of a lady that he's following, mm-hmm. and how intrigued he was with her, and, you know, some of the things that she is promoting in terms of relationships and knowing, you know, who you are and who you're getting involved with, even in terms of creating families, you know.
Because we all went to school, right? All of us went to school,
right?
But I remember learning maths and English,
right,
but nobody
right.
taught me how to be happy.
Happy, exactly.
Or the skill, you know, there must be, you know, so What is happiness in your mind? Is that something that can be cultivated?
Yes,
or is that
most
something
definitely.
That can be learned?
Yes, definitely. So let me finish the HAPPY acronym. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is again, harmonious, H-harmony. The next thing is A, which is abundant. Okay, we must have an abundant mindset, because immediately when humans mm-hmm. think of lack, they start getting fearful. And, you know, that fear leads into anger, anxiety, anger. And then we tend to lash out. Mm-hmm. And so we must have those basic needs met. And those needs are met within the family. And then, of course, societal organizations can also help. Our society can help with persons to being able to achieve that. But chiefly, it comes from the family. So even a mindset of abundance, that we have everything that we need. Mm-hmm. But again, when people, and that can be fostered within a home, whether it's real or perceived.
Yes.
And so the P is for productive, being a productive people. We are born to produce. And whenever we're stagnated in that event, again, there is anxiety, there's fear that comes from that. The second P in happy is progressive. Mm-hmm. We must be a progressive people who are innovative and not only think outside the box, but be prepared to be able to move the box that is being a barrier to yourself and to others. And then the Y is for yesable. And it is a word, yes, ability we want to promote. And that's, you know, being hopeful that, you know, that there can be improvement, there can be progress, there can be harmony, there can be all these good conditions that can help in our development. And so, again, as an organization, we're working towards bringing programs. Mr. Palmer mentioned that it isn't in the school, but it can be. Mm-hmm. You know, these are some of the things that we can teach our children.
But your organization has been active over the years. This is the second time you've been on the show, given details mm-hmm. and activities that mm-hmm. your organization has been promoting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you decide to adopt this Family and International Day of Happiness? Why am I taking that and I'm running with it? Because
okay.
it's part of our mandate.
Right. We didn't know until a short time ago that there was even an International Day of Happiness. We had already, our cultivation of this goal, we had a couple years ago, and then we saw to align it with, you know, this International Day, that we have a right to be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not from even, you know, the local level or from, you know, my organizational level. It's an international, universal thing to be happy. And mm-hmm. so the leaders in nations have seen this as equal to economic growth mm-hmm. and development, that people are happy, because when you're happy, you're going to have better outcomes. You're going to do better things. And when you see a society that's chaotic and is having these things in society, like the violence and the murders and the mm-hmm. rest of it, you can say for sure that, you know, we have work to do in helping our people to be happier.
You know, what was interesting was mm-hmm. that in, you know, Northern European countries mm-hmm. routinely come out as the most happiest country.
That's right.
And there seems
seems
to be a link between mm-hmm. a level of education mm-hmm. as well.
That's right.
The more higher educated a country is, mm-hmm. the more they're able to have this sort of abundance mindset, sort of good mental health. They're not in survival struggling
right.
in survival
mm-hmm.
mode like mm-hmm. a lot of Bahamians are.
Right.
So education seems to be, in some countries, a very key link to, you know, I don't know if it's a causal mm-hmm. link, mm-hmm. but
definitely.
Between highly educated and highly happy countries.
Right. And
I think that the most part Bahamians are happy. I mean, we like complain. Mm-hmm. Well, we can complain, right?
But complaining isn't a product of a happy
is
people.
Yeah, yeah.
But is it more about Bahamians being stoic? Mm-hmm. I think they're very stoic people. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen them pick themselves up after a hurricane mm-hmm. where other mm-hmm. countries,
resilient,
they would
right.
fall apart. Mm-hmm. I think Bahamians are very resilient. I think mm-hmm. it's part of being mm-hmm. in an island culture, maybe part of our history as well mm-hmm. has something to do with that. But I think, so I'm not sure if it's if we have a happiness index, I mean, I know Bahamians are generally, they appear to be more happy, but I think it's to do with resilience more so.
Right, right. So it's interesting that there is a report that's done. We talked about the World Happiness Report, and in the 2023 one came out yesterday. And again, the Nordic countries.
So where did Bahamas get?
One.
In the middle?
But the Bahamas doesn't show up at all.
Oh, okay.
And I believe that's actually because we didn't put in our... It's a self-reporting.
Okay.
And so Shivago has promised to help us to get that, get us on the Bahamas on that listing in short order. So we're going to look to him for that. But yeah, so there's surveys that are based on factors, including the social support that a country has. It's based on the GDP. That's one of them. And also the generosity of the people, you know, how generous.
We're generous.
In fact, let me talk about generosity. I had an experience just yesterday, which was, it's so ironic that it came on International Day of Happiness. I went into the food store and I was along with my nephew and just picked him up and he wanted to get a couple of things. And I thought I had some monies in my bag, in fact. And so I got to the cash register with these things, you know, taking them out, and I'm looking, and I only have $10, and I'm sure these things cost at least about $30. I thought I had the $20, and so I had to put these things back in the back. The gentleman in the back, the behind me, says, "Go ahead, get them. We'll take care of them."
Good Bahamian man.
Good Bahamian man. His last name, I forgot the first name, but his last name is Rose. So I want to give just a shout out, and obviously we don't have a lot of roses here, but a shout out to Rose, the whole Rose family. I just want to thank you, you know, because I thought that was just so kind of him to do. And my nephew, who's about 10 years old, he was able to go home and tell my mother about this. And so obviously he was impacted.
Of course,
so it tells about, you know, us being mindful of the things that we're doing. In fact, that is the theme of International Day of Happiness for this year. Be mindful, be grateful, be kind.
But you know, back in 2006, there was a survey of happiness in the Bahamas.
Okay.
I think this is what Cecil was referring, came out as the happiest
in
the world.
Okay. Which year was that?
That was in 2006, just behind Denmark, Switzerland, Austria.
Now, the
interesting thing is what region, wealth, and education. We're not really at the top of any of those. So we're kind of defying those kind of statistics, correlations.
Mm-hmm,
but when we do have information out there, we are amongst the top in the world.
Oh,
so
God,
I think Cecil is right there.
Right, okay. Yeah. So that's some information. Yeah. I know that
we don't want
to
migrate anywhere. We prefer to stay
right here in the Bahamas, right?
So nobody,
that we're happy, but in the last, you said that was in 2006, right?
So I don't think things have changed significantly.
In the last 10 years or so, there has been, I'm thinking obviously this would have to be verified that there has, because we're looking again at the outcomes.
Yes.
You know, we're looking at the outcomes of what, you know, we're experiencing in families. And that's not to say we don't, obviously we have a good foundation, but we need to work on that. We need to build that and to make sure that it doesn't deteriorate more than it is. And so as we work towards these conditions, as I said, of being more harmonious, you know, being having an abundant mindset, you don't have to fight for, you know, or have a mindset that there's lack, that, you know, if someone has it, that you can't get it, you know, even
so
in
the
schools.
How do you do that? Because I mean, I have an abundance practice where in the morning the first thing I do is I think of what I'm grateful for in my life, you know,
right,
where I've got a roof over my
head,
that I have
right,
food in my, and it's just a simple thing, but it's like a practice. After a while, you kind of think, well, you know, there's a lot of things. So I think maybe if you have some programs that you can share with people, how to create that mindset, because I think it's a mental thing, right?
It's definitely.
It's not on the outside. No. It's something we have to cultivate within to project, right?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yes, that is being recommended, and that we recommend is teaching children empathy. It's extremely important that we allow them to have an idea of how do you feel, you know, and to put themselves in the, you know, the other person's shoe, in terms of their actions, you mm-hmm. know, is that action going to make you happy? Do you think it's going to make another person happy? Mm-hmm. Do you still mm-hmm. want to go ahead and do this action? You know, if it comes to you, how would you feel? Okay. And so these are some of the things, like you said, are not really, present in education, which we need to work towards helping to be a part of, you know, our educational system.
Because we need help.
Yes,
know, because,
definitely.
You know, it doesn't matter what family you grew up in, mm-hmm. there was some emotional dysfunction.
Oh, yes,
right?
yes.
You know, it can come in different ways. It could be a parent ignoring mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. It could be mm-hmm. a parent being, you know, putting you down. Mm-hmm. It comes in many different ways.
That's
so
right.
I know we're
right.
all struggling.
Right.
Because there is no manual how to be a parent.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no manual for say, but there's a lot of training that we can get to be better because of the research that has gone on, you know, and that's continuing to go on. So when we talk about being a parent, we need to then look for this information and seek after, because just because you're a parent doesn't mean that you know everything. And so you have to be intentional about these mm-hmm. things, even marriages.
Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to Ms. Cheryl Joaquin, who is the chairman, the CEO of Marriage, Children, Family Alliance Movement, right?
And the Bahamas Strong Families Forever.
And the Bahamas
campaign.
Strong
Families Forever campaign.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I want to know how can Bahamians get in contact with you so they can partner with you in all your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know also what's next for the organization.
Okay, thank you so much. So our telephone numbers are 3932671 or 803-6300. And so we have mm-hmm. a list of events that are going to lead towards what we call the road to 50 and beyond. And we hope to be able to collaborate with the Secretariat in some of these activities. We 3 years ago, we were successful in getting the National Family Week started. And so this year will be the third annual National Family Week, which is July 25th through the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And during that week, as I said, the crowning event will be a family affair, family legacy affair, in which we will be recognizing 50 families who have paved the way.
Nice. You're celebrating independence.
Yes, 50 families that have paved the way and 50 families who are poised, who we will want to follow in building capacity to make an impact in the next 50 years. And so we're looking forward to, you know, that event. We know of many persons who have made many accomplishments, and they've made those accomplishments with their family in tow. And so we want to promote them, those persons who have lent their service to our nation, whether it's in the political arena, whether it's in the religious, business, all sectors. We're going to scout out to see those families who have been impactful over the last 50 years. Coming up in May, we have a parenting policy, family policy parenting program mm-hmm. conference that's going to happen in May, between May 18th and the 20th, where we're inviting local expertise in addition to having a guest presenter from Idaho, who's a marital professor. Mm-hmm. And he's also a United Nations presenter, multi-time.
Nice.
And he will be presenting on how we can create family policies, how we can help build better relationships as parents and even childminders. We have been working with the children's homes because, again, when we talk about mm-hmm. families, they would be, these families are, I guess, the most vulnerable, the most in need of help because they've had to give up or had their children for some reason, you know, turned off over to the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to help those families to be able to have their children who are in these homes come back to them. And so we want to be able to work with them. And so we're looking at the childminders. We're looking at marriages. Because when we talk about families, you know, marriage is the anchor.
Mm.
And so we know that marriages are even under attack. And again, when marriages fail, children are hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, society is hurt. And so these are some of the relationships that we're looking at and helping to improve.
And I am here with Miss Cheryl Walking, who is the CEO of Marriage, Children, Family Alliance Movement. Mm-hmm. And give me the last part where I was forgetting.
What's that? The Bahama Strong Families Forever campaign. Yes. Let me say that. Mm-hmm. This is an initiative we started last year with the second annual National Family Week, where we're inviting partners and sponsors from every different sector of our community to work with us. Because obviously, in order for us to be able to help, we need support in being able to do that. And so this is for families that we can guide families to being able to access. And because many times we have the resources out there, but persons need guidance in terms of what, you know, what is needed. Excellent. And that sort of thing. And so we're looking for the business. We've reached out to a number of businesses, public sector partners and whatnot, and we'll continue to do that, and we're hoping that they will be receptive in helping us in this goal of creating happier people, happier mm-hmm. families that will indeed be the foundation for the development of our country.
And we are celebrating International Happy Day, and we want people to be mindful, we want people to be grateful, and also
be kind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're just going to take our commercial break as we transition. Have a wonderful day. We'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio with C.A. Nuri, and I am happy talking about tours. I mean, I had a conversation with Aaron last week and I said, Aaron, no, I'm going to make space for you to explain all these ideas, these big ideas that you have regarding tours. And I also asked Mark to stay back because few people know that Mark is a tour guide, actually. And recently, we've had numbers, record-breaking numbers from cruise ship passengers. Everybody and the auntie wants to come to the Bahamas. This is the hot spot. This is the place to come. But there are people who say, but there's nothing to do in the Bahamas. And I said, what do you mean there's nothing to do in the Bahamas? We are the most historical country per square mile, right? There are all kind of things to do here. In walking distance, you can find all kind of historical places. But they're saying that there aren't enough tours for the people, tourists to come and do. This is why they're trying to build this recreation site over PI. And this was our Prime Minister mentioned. This is part of their program initiative to make sure we have enough adequate tours for them. So I said, Aaron, you there?
Yes, sir.
I said, Aaron, you need to come up with some tours because we can help a Ministry of Tourism. And also we're going to investigate why why isn't the tours happening? What are the prohibitives regarding this tours? But I'm going to start with Mark to find out what type of tour guide he is. And then, Aaron, I want you to step right in, and because I would hear that big idea what you have for that big place. But so I want to start off with that. But go ahead, Mark. What type of tour do you do?
So I work for, actually, in the nonprofit sector for the consultant for 4 days a week. And so I had a couple of days off in a week. And it was just, I was on Facebook, and I saw this incredible post by Murray Sweeting to be a tour guide for the True Bahamian Food Company. And let me see what that's about. Went in for a meeting, and it took about 4 months to train to become a fully fledged tour guide. And I've been doing it for 6 years, and it's absolutely wonderful because it's a break. You know, it gets me out, gets me to meet people. I've probably met 6,000 people over the last 7 years, and you see how diverse you can. You know, it's really opened my eye. So it's a food tour.
So tourists want to go to that tour?
We have over 3,000 5-star reviews. So there's 7 tour guides on the True Bahamian Bites of Nassau food tour, and it's something that locals should go on as well, because like you referenced, Cecil, we have an incredible amount of history. Can you imagine? We were the only pirates republic
in the world.
Yes. I mean, there were pirates in Madagascar, other parts of the world. But here, for a period between 1703 and 1718, we had 5 times as many pirates as civilians. Mm-hmm. Isn't that insane? And I say to my guests, I say, and if you think piracy is dead, our ancestors, those pirates are still alive, but they wear suits now. They don't wear the Jolly Roger anymore.
And this is why I find it frustrating, and I'm asking, is somebody not being true in terms of not saying that there's not adequate tours here? When we have graveyard tours, we have people who come to the Bahamas to walk through our graveyard and see the history.
Okay.
Yes, in the Bahamas.
I know there are ghost tours.
And there's ghost tours. Yeah. Yes. There's food tours. There's rum tours. There's all kind of tours in the Bahamas. Go ahead, Aaron.
I argue there's still not enough tours. There's still not enough tours to entertain every single person that comes into the country every year. But not just that, there are a lot of tours, but there isn't an organized tour industry. Just having rental experiences doesn't mean you have a tourism industry. And just having a lot of tours doesn't mean you have a tour industry.
So let's
explore
that.
And so it's about coordinating what exists.
Let's explore that. How does one coordinate what exists?
Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to start an association with a union, right? Or a union. And so you have to associate. You have to associate around a common goal core goal.
So that's
right?
One. That's one.
That's the first thing.
First thing we need to do all those persons who are tour guides at this present time, there needs to be an official association or meeting of the minds to herald and voice the concerns and voice the ideas and needs of a tour operating system. Okay, that's one.
Right. And although the government may have mechanisms to liaise, facilitate, connect with tour guides, that mechanism is organizing you for that mechanism's purpose. It's important to organize outside of the state construct, and it's important to organize outside of the hotel and tourism industry, right? The hotel construct. You can't rely on them to organize you.
And I want to interject here too to make sure everyone understands what's happening. At this present time, Mark and Aaron, who organizes tours? Who is responsible for the tours?
It's a private sector thing. It's a ground up.
Sector.
It's actually what we've all been campaigning for, something that comes from the grassroots up. You know, I think the last thing you want is the government mandating some kind of rules on tours. I think you've got this industry. It's very diverse because I keep an eye on the competition. There are a lot of fantastic tours out there. And it's like, for example, the person who started True Bahamian Foods, I know you may be familiar to you, remarkable woman. She was, I think, 23 when she started. She'd already started food for Hands for Hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she was doing her MBA, she was thinking about starting a tour company, and it's, you know, we've got seven guides working there now, and it's amazing, you know, not just started with one person. So entrepreneurs, I think encouraging young entrepreneurs to see that there are opportunities in the tour guides. I mean, since I've started, it has exploded. There were only a few, maybe two or three when I started. There are probably about eight or nine now, different walking tours, different food tours, bicycling tours, you know, things that are under $100, right? Because there are a lot of tours that are expensive, sort of outside, you know, if you want to hire a jet ski or a scooter or a four-track vehicle, or want to go down to the pigs, you're talking about big money.
Yes.
But if you're coming in, you want to spend $75, which is what a true Bahamian food, fantastic value. Go and you have six tastings. You have a big meal at Bahamian Cooking. If you've ever been there, it's an amazing restaurant, been open for 36 years. And we go up to Athena Cafe, because I don't think what people realize is that our food culture is actually infused with this lot of foreign culture. So the Greeks who came in the 1860s, they developed the conch recipe. So mm-hmm. crack conch is actually a Greek construct. Conch chowder was originally a Greek fish soup. It's now they substituted the fish and put the conch in. And so with a tomato base, you know, like a Manhattan style. So we go to Athena Cafe, we talk about sponging, because I don't know if most Bahamians realize there's a huge sponging. This was our number one industry, like tourism back in the day, until 1936 when we had a sponge blight that wiped out the sponge beds. A lot of Greeks left. And they're now really big players in the food industry. Most restaurants are owned by one of five or six Greek families. So a lot of the restaurants that we... It's just, there's a lot of history to it. Then we go to Greycliff. Of course, if anyone who hasn't been to Greycliff, very high-end, it's an incredible what Enrico Gazzaroli has done the last 45 years. Started with one building. He now owns that entire street pretty much. Yes, they now have three restaurants, 20 boutique hotel rooms. The only hotel that has a cigar factory, a chocolate factory, and a winery, the only Bahamian winery, all on West Hill Street. And you can go up there and do tours. You can do chocolate. You can learn how to make chocolate. You can, in fact, learn how to roll a cigar. I'll give you $75, Cecil, for your birthday. You go up there, and a guy will sit and roll a cigar for you.
Your tour works, but in the Bahamas, you had a number of Bahamians who say, but the government isn't doing this. And the government, Aaron, is responsible for tours. And now we listen to Mark, and Mark said, no, this is an entrepreneur type thing. This is individuals in the Bahamas. How do we get people, regular people, to start a tour?
Let's pause for a second. I think what the government is currently doing is the Tourism Development Corporation, I imagine, right, is coordinating with cruise ships and hotels to create a standard or criteria for tours, right? Like, this is what we want, this is what we don't want, this is the standard, these are the standards that we expect. And so, to some extent, government has its hand in it, right? But for the average Bahamian to start a tour, right, first of all, they've got to figure out how to build their own personal capacity, whether it's mm-hmm. going to BTVI or mm-hmm. UB continuing education courses, tertiary institution for capacity building. You got to go to the Bahama Host Program. You got to take advantage of as many tourism training and exposure opportunities as possible, right? You may even need to figure out if you can intern or get a part-time job in peak season to work with another tour company to get a sense of the elements that you need to coordinate to manage success, you know, a successful tour experience. But mainly it is creating a mechanism to help Bahamians organize themselves. This idea that somebody should just be able to wake up and put all the elements together by themselves, that's really far-fetched. It's way out there. And we know, you know, we pull it back to home, that people need support. They need a system to connect to. They need to, right? How do you understand, if you have a tour company, what are the elements that I plug into? I could have a tour company, but how do I connect to cruise passengers? How do I connect to hotel passengers? How do I advertise in foreign markets, right? What are the tax? Then you got to, what are the tax considerations? What are the economic finance considerations for my business, right? What are the human resources considerations? Who's going to teach me about NIB, right? Who's going to teach me about labor laws and workers' rights? Mm-hmm. And so what we really need is a civil society organization, an NGO, supported by the government and other international agencies with funding, technical support, to bring Bahamians up to a capacity that they can actively and substantively treat.
So let's pause right there, right? Because clearly the government needs assistance in terms of how do we get from point A to point B. And clearly Bahamians who are complaining that there's not enough tours, especially the people from the port, say, oh, there's not enough tours in the Bahamas. That's why the tourism are frustrated and we can build a port to keep the tourism there. Clearly, there's a disconnect, right? And then Aaron, hold on. You were saying that to get this connection, that Bahamians can participate in this tour business, there needs to be elements of systems and things that Bahamians could plug into in order to say, okay, I know what to do next. And that is currently lacking because I might have a tour idea, right? Mm-hmm. And say, why don't we do this? But I do not know how to start it. And telling me, oh, you got to go to BTVI. I said, I ain't going back to school. I cut that out. I have my tour idea. And they say, telling me that, oh, you need to go and learn accounting. They say, hey, you didn't hear the part where they say, I'm not going back to school, right? I have my tour idea. I can work. How do I get this idea to mainstream that I can seek employment? And that is lacking. And perhaps, like Aaron was saying, suggesting that we need a private NGOs who can mold or give us a mold or give a person a mold and say, hey, this is what you can plug yourself into and make your tour work.
It's not easy. Go on, Aaron.
I was just to say, we talk about incubators, and there are a number of incubators in country now to help grow it earlier. I don't think it's that the government doesn't know how to do it. I think that the government lacks imagination, right? And that they are not inspired by the ideas that are out there. They don't see them as valuable, and thus don't the people with the resources, the government, they don't make the connection to the people with the ideas, right? And so the government knows how to do it, but they only do it with these very staid colonial projects, or they only do it with people who, you know, ideas that they can understand. They lack imagination and they lack the willingness to explore the ideas that Bahamians have.
I like Cecil's idea of having, you know, we have the Access Accelerator, we have certain incubators, creating a product, to show people how to do this. And unfortunately, you're going to have to do some schoolwork. Maybe it can be done on YouTube. You can watch a video on how to do it rather than actually physically going, having to read something. But starting a tour company is like starting any other business. There's a lot of elements to it. So for example, for True Bahamian Food Tours, there's a whole script. Somebody had to write that script, create that script. They had to find the partners, the six partners that partner with us, negotiate, contracts with them, make sure that what you're paying those six partners and the tour guides is going to make you money at a certain break even, so that you're going to need help. You're going to need somebody to do some kind of break even analysis, because it's all very well. I mean, I think Alana started with, she did it herself and then she figured it out, probably had a lot of missteps on the way. And then she got her first tour guide and then her second tour guide and then developed systems. And she got a manager eventually to run it. It took years. It took 7-8 years to get to the point of this successful tour company. If you look at the script, it's incredible. It's amazing.
And I want to interject here because, Scrooge, who has his own show, he's trying to get a tour off the ground. Of course, he has some frustrations. Mm. And I'm saying the frustration is because of lack of systems. Him being able to plug in to the mainstream to get the things that he's lacking.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist.
So entrepreneurial training is one thing, and they teach you about marketing. I mean, for Alana, she went on TripAdvisor. So, you have to get a designer.
Mark, I think it's broader than just entrepreneurial training, right? In the capacity of the tour guide, the person who wants to offer the experience or to go into business. What we're really talking about is that the stakeholders, the people who say they own the industry, right? The cruise liners, the Ministry of Tourism, the big hotels, these people who demand they demand the space, right? It's their tourism. They make the decisions, but they rely on us, the citizens, to provide the labor, to provide the imaginative labor, right? The creative labor, and to produce these experiences. But they do not create an infrastructure that we can easily, becomes offensive when a prime minister would say something like, well, the decision to grant the PI, the RCI-PI deal, was partly because there's nothing for tourists to do in the Bahamas, right? These things become offensive and then bring more weight. They make comments by Glenys Hannah-Martin more salient, right? I just want to share a conversation I was a part of. And person says, while most people are fighting over whether Hannah Martin should be fired or not, like, we missed the most salient point of her objection, and they quote her, what we should be doing is developing cultural and entrepreneurial opportunities for cruise ship visitors when they disembark, right? And so how are the major stakeholders that demand all of the air in the room, demand all of the preference from government, how are they going to make it not just easy, but how are they going to make it possible for us to support their mechanisms, for us to be a part of our own tourism product? They can do that by reforming their systems so Bahamians can more easily, can with greater ease, plug in to their tourism products with our tourism products.
And I hear you, Erin. And I'm quickened to say this, right? We know the port is about to open, right? We know we're going to have a grand affair and then the port will work. And the port personnel, they're saying that there aren't any Bahamian tours for the port to attach to, even though there are a number of tours. But there aren't any incubators or any systems we can develop Bahamians to attach themselves to the major industry. And that is it. To help a Bahamian who have an idea. I just have an idea. The idea itself is a good idea, but I do not know how to develop the idea, nor do I have any systems in place, nor does there exist any systems in place to develop my idea that says, here, see, I have a new tour, right? I can start it, but because I don't have any systems in place, that means automatically my tour mashup. It does it fail automatically before it opens. And that is my concern. I hear you complaining, or at least I hear them complaining, but nobody is assisting in order for Bahamians in mass can participate and create tours.
And not charity assist, people aren't looking for charity. They're looking for structural reform that enables greater participation and accessibility by the average Bahamian in the tourism game.
And Erin, I want us to stop here because we have 6 minutes, right? And one of the ideas I want us to hash out, because you gave me one idea and I said, man, that's brilliant. I never thought about that. And only one, that big one, I want you to hash out, right? And then we have Mark and I respond to that. And I wonder, I know you are a wealth of ideas and you just giving them out freely. And you say, man, just run with it. Someone just embrace this. I applaud you for that because you have 101 ideas and people need to appreciate that and welcome you to get these ideas out of you so you can birth these ideas. But go ahead with your idea again so the world and Mark and I can hash it out.
All right. So inspired by that very same conversation where the commentator drew our attention to Glenys Hannah's comments, particularly an opportunorial is developing cultural and entrepreneurial opportunities for cruise ship visitors when they disembark. The next person said, well, listen, and it opens. There's even a large space for free entertainment, right? And so I joined the conversation at that point. And so I'm not opposed to the port having a space for entertainment. Even a space for free entertainment. That's what radios are for, right? That's what speakers are for. But I think the tourists and guests They need to come into Nassau City proper for entertainment. I don't think that that's the port's place to offer that, because the port is not Bahamian, right? And so I really, inspired by Glenis Hanna's remarks and the comments from the other people, I would take the Corona Hotel and the building next to it known as the Hub, and maybe a building to the east and the buildings to the south between Bay and Dowswell, right? So from Victoria to the Corona Hotel, but the Corona Hotel is the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. I would turn it into a multi-stage performance hall with club style and stage style rooms playing a variety of genres, all produced or performed by Bahamians, with an outdoor space for junkanoo performances and food and lounging. It's close enough to the port for ease of movement, can quickly get back to the cruise ship, and it can be the catalyst for East of East Street growth. It allows you to play a wide variety of music, Bahamian genres, music performed by Bahamians, covers performed by Bahamians, young Bahamian rap, reggae, pop, dancehall. You can have day clubs, you can have nightclubs, you could have what they call, you know, the headphone clubs, where it's quiet, everybody's listening to the same music in their headphones, multiple stages, multiple platforms. You can engage multiple age groups, from children straight up to adult, to adults to senior citizens. You could have stage and short play performances in one room. It brings people off of the port. It's not far from the port. It grows tourism. It grows Bay Street. It provides a space for young artists to get into the industry. It provides a space for older artists to preserve the work that they've done by having a space that they can continually perform in. It's just all around, I think it's all around good idea.
And Mark, I'll let you respond to that. And I wanted this one to be fleshed out, even though you have 25 listed there, different ideas that we want to flesh out, right? But I want to know, why hasn't that happened to the Hotel Corona? It has been empty here and on for almost 30 years, right? And just lay dilapidated. That nobody thought about purchasing it to say, let's add this to our tourism product. There's a disconnect. And we need to identify what the disconnect is.
I think maybe the building's not suitable for that purpose, but I think Aaron's idea is a brilliant idea. I had a sort of, you know, a two-hour musical about Bahamian history that you could come in, and it talks about Columbus, it talks about everything through to the present day. It would be a really interesting way to get into the Bahamian culture. At the end of 2 hours, you say, wow, I really understand that country. I had fun, I had music, I had different things. I think a venue like that, Aaron, would be amazing, but you'd probably have to build it. You'd need a stage, you know, like the Hub, but I think the stages there are a little bit small, and the building is fairly... I think something like the Hub would need to be knocked down and a purpose-built rear.
Nice. Anyway, we're going to hash this idea out some more. We're going to hash out ideas on what tours can we be adopt, could be adopted, and what should be happening right now, how to help Bahamians help themselves. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful day.